Jim Williams with you on the New Mexico Suncast, and we're with Senator Jeff Steinborn.
Hey,
Senator, nice to see you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
District 36, south part of the state.
Yeah.
Tell us about you and your family and where you live.
Yeah. So I live in Las Cruces. I'm from Las Cruces. Born and raised there.
Don't tell me you're an Aggie fan.
Well, of course I am. I mean, what a question.
So you're talking to a former Lobo. Sorry.
All right. Well, that's all right. We're only Mexicans. And yeah, I have deep roots there. My dad was a former mayor there in the 80s for a few terms, kind of in the spirit of our serving here in the legislature, was a volunteer back in the day. Just really honored to represent the state in the legislature where I've been doing this now. It's my 17th year starting. I was in the House for four terms, and I got elected to the Senate and just started my third term. Just such an amazing state we live in. And
we appreciate
that
you serve, because this is not an easy thing. How hard is this on your family to do it?
Well, I'm single. I have a girlfriend, so that's probably why, right?
You're okay.
There are trade-offs, unfortunately, when you kind of spend as much time as you do doing this job and away from your home, and someone asked me the other day if I have a dog, and I was like, I'd be a terrible dog owner. I love dogs, but being up here, it's just, but anyway, but my family, of course, totally supports what I do. And, it's fun. It's a challenge for me, and it's rewarding work for me. So.
When not in the legislature, do you have a vocation also?
Of course. Yes. We don't get paid in the legislature. And so I've had a life outside of the legislature, and still do. I run a nonprofit called Outdoor New Mexico. It's a 501c3,
nice,
working to grow the outdoor economy in New Mexico and doing conservation. And that's what I do.
And was that something that you were inspired to do when you went to New Mexico State?
Well, I didn't go to New Mexico State. Actually, I went to the University of Texas in Austin. That's where I went to college, and I still have family there. And, my folks split up, and part of my family ended up moving to Austin, where I ended up going to college, and then came back to New Mexico in 2001 after college. But I've just been really drawn to conservation from kind of young adulthood, for kind of obvious reasons.
We have an amazingly beautiful state, don't we?
We do. And the thing about the environment is you have to protect it. It doesn't protect itself, and there's threats to it. And so it's I think one of the most sacred things we could do as public servants is to protect this as the birthright of future generations. And really, not to be too cliche, but economically, the goose that laid the golden egg, it's what makes our state awesome, one of the things, but we have to also preserve that, including culture and other things. So I'm passionate about it.
Senator, you have 3 weeks left in this legislative session. Maybe give us an update on bills you really wanted to get through. What's the status on those, and what are you expecting moving forward for the next 3 weeks?
Well, I'm really excited about this session because actually I've got a lot of great bills, and I think every single one of them are still alive at this point in time, and they're all really challenging bills. But I'll tell you one I'm super excited about that is helping recruit doctors into this state and medical providers. And so I have a bill, a bipartisan bill that I created to remove all the gross receipts tax on medical providers in the state. We're one of two states in the country that still charges basically sales tax for doctors, not on all expenses, but on enough of them that it makes their life a nightmare. And
a little earlier today, we talked to Fred Nathan.
Okay.
And he mentioned you, obviously.
Yeah. So Fred's, this is one of the things he's been advocating for. But I, working with the Doniana Medical Society and doctors around the state, and we really, it took us a long time to dig in and figure out, what are all these little pieces that they're still paying GRT on, and then putting it together in a bill and then building a coalition of bipartisan legislators and trying to build support for this proposal, because it's going to cost us some money. But I think we're going to possibly do some tax relief this session, and so I wanted to highlight it for you and your listeners and viewers, because this can be such a great impact for all of our communities around the state and help make sure we have health providers, as we all need health providers, and we're a state that's getting older.
And a lot of us have wondered why it takes 6 months to get a doctor's appointment. It's because we're losing doctors.
We are actually numerically losing doctors, and that's true. And I, you know, in my area, in Doñana County, we have some doctors go into El Paso, and where they have a different climate they're dealing with taxes and medical malpractice as well. And so it's a super concern. I mean, this is a vital interest to the whole state that we fundamentally improve our climate for practicing medicine here. And this is one of the big things we can do. It's not the only thing, but it's one of them. It's Senate Bill 295.
Senate Bill 295. And yeah. when does that come to the floor, or is it still in committee?
Well, there is, you know, the way our tax relief kind of bills like that happen here in the legislature is they all stop at the tax committee. And then there's negotiation kind of at a higher level about, are we going to do tax relief? What bills do we want to include in that? So this bill has been heard by the tax committee in the Senate. We have a companion bill, a duplicate bill, that's being led by Representative Dave Hockman Hill, which I believe is House Bill 344, but you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
And she has, that bill has passed the House Health Committee. And so it is moving along, but more importantly, it's conversations happening at a high level and, you know, legislators on both sides of the aisle about this idea and really getting it to prime time and hopefully including it if we do tax relief this session. You know, that's what I'm fighting for.
I know there's also legislation, again, trying to attract doctors, yeah. make it more attractive for doctors. Doctors are business people. Sometimes
right.
we don't like to think
that's
of them
true.
That way. There's other bills that mm-hmm. have to do with malpractice insurance,
right.
Medicare reimbursements.
Right.
Where do you stand on all those?
So I would like people to continue conversations about medical malpractice and see if there's tweaks that we can make. I know Senator Hickey's bill in the Senate, you know, is proposing some reasonable things, quite frankly. Devil's in the details sometimes, as they say. You know, I think patients definitely, you know, you want, you know, I think the thing about threats of judgment, if harm was done to them in a negligence way by a physician or even any industry, you know, the threat of judgment makes products safer. But on the other hand, it has to be a reasonable system. So I think his legislation, you know, probably takes some good strides there. On the reimbursement of Medicaid, increasing rates, that's another great thing we can and should be doing. So I'm hopeful that we make strides in both those areas.
Because there, we do have a large Medicaid population, don't we?
Big. Half the state of New Mexico is on Medicaid. And, you know, part of the deal is that, you know, we recently really increased rates, but you had a lot of providers who didn't want to deal with Medicaid. And it's really important that they do serve that population, but we need to make it really beneficial for them to do so. And also, you know, again, in recruiting more physicians to the state, if that's going to be a big part of their patient mix, you better make it financially rewarding for them to serve here.
You know, with the things that you're doing in the environment and conservation, New Mexico's not a hard sell if somebody can make
true.
A living here, is it?
I think so. I mean, you know, I've had doctors when I've talked to them about, you know, why would you want to come to New Mexico? And it's like, duh. I mean, like, you know, we have this incredible environment. Of course, the world's greatest green chili and Mexican food. And, you know, if you get us, you get us. And if you don't, well, maybe it's not a good fit, you know, if you don't really appreciate what our state has to offer. But it's not as if you can say, well, but we want you to work for, you know, pennies on the dollar, what you can make somewhere else. It is a business, like you said. And like other businesses that we work hard to recruit here, like the film industry, we obviously understand the dollars and cents of that industry. It's really important we start to understand the dollars and cents of medicine and create a competitive environment here.
And you're kind of suggesting that just needs a little more research and stuff.
Yeah, well, it needs an investment. So I think, like, you know, the proposals you've talked about, think are researched, and it's now like, okay, it's up to us as leaders to do some of these things. And anyway, so Senate Bill 295 that I'm sponsoring is one of those big ideas.
Okay, fantastic. We're gonna now do our last topic, and that's about safety. So I want to ask you about Las Cruces specifically.
Yep.
Are you safer here? Were you safer 10 years ago or safer now? I guess I'm trying to compare. How do people feel about walking down the street and taking a stroll? You feel safe doing that?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Having said that, you know, we know what we read in the paper. We know statistically maybe there's higher odds of something happening. I think depending upon where you're, but I do feel that way in Las Cruces, but I know that statistically we have a problem. Let's just put it that way. It doesn't matter. Thankfully, nothing, you know, and I've had close calls. I think being in the public eye, that's a whole different animal, but generally, as far as our communities go, yeah, no, we do see increased crime, other problems. And I think there's a lot of things we need to be doing to help improve the situations. And we've, I think, moved the needle on that this session with, you know, the big funding package we just created for behavioral health, well, with our improving our competency law so that we can start to stop the turnstile of people who need treatment or incarceration.
And we've talked to 9 or 10 people today,
yeah,
a couple representatives and several senators. Not one of them has said a negative thing about the crime package that has been passed, mm-hmm, with one exception. They'd like more.
Yeah.
What do we really need to do to just complete the package? Everybody be safe. It's affordable.
Yeah.
I'm asking you probably a pretty complicated
question. No, I mean, you know, there's a proposal people talk about, which is a rebuttable presumption, or I forget exactly the right, you know, basically allowing, you know, judges, I guess, to just keep everybody in jail. And I think this is a more complex proposal in terms of legislating a good solution. We passed a constitutional amendment, and as I understood that, we gave judges the latitude to hang on to people who are deemed violent threats. We also gave them the latitude to not hang on to people based upon economics alone of a nonviolent offense for economic reasons, so there was equity in that situation. My understanding of the research is that, in fact, in terms of recidivism, of those people who were then released, a very small percentage of them were committing crimes. So I know it's a talking point. How big of an actual solution is that to reducing crime? I'm not convinced of that based upon what I've heard. So having said that, I think this competency issue is a huge issue because, you know, I've met with my own police chief, you know, the amount of people that courts are, they don't have the resources maybe to do a timely competency evaluation. They're letting them go. Maybe the statute isn't strong enough there. And that is a huge problem. We have a disproportionately small amount of offenders committing a lot of crimes. And we need to get a handle on that. And hopefully this competency is going to move the ball forward. But also some of those people need treatment. They need, you know, if we need to deal with that part of it. And that's where we've invested a lot of money. And hopefully growing those resources so now we can fix the root of the problem, which is these people. And but I think we're going to move the needle forward. This is not the end of the story, nor is it even the end of the session. So.
And you've had a lot of bipartisan support for these bills that have been passed so far.
There has been.
Yeah.
And that's great.
We like to hear that. We like to hear when one side of the aisle is talking to the other, because for some reason the media seems to emphasize when people don't cooperate. So we're trying to give a good report that, yeah, there actually is some cooperation.
Absolutely.
And maybe we could add to that by helping the communication a little bit. So we really appreciate you spending the time with us today.
It's been my pleasure. And I thank you again for really educating New Mexicans about the policy ideas being talked about in a substantive way so they can be actually more informed about what's really happening, not just hear some little soundbite that gets us all angry at each other, but doesn't realize that we're actually working up here to solve some problems.
Thank you very much for your service.
Pleasure.